Thank you, Jeremy, and thanks for the kind invitation to be here, and good evening. I'm a computer scientist, and over the past 7 years, most of my work has focused on using off-the-shelf technologies and for monitoring and supporting people living with dementia. In the UK, there are something around close to a million people affected by dementia. At any given time, one in four hospital beds are occupied by somebody living with dementia. Around 23% of these hospital admissions are due to preventable causes. Some of the main causes of people with dementia going to hospitals are like falls, hip fractures, respiratory problems, urinary tract infections, which is a relatively simple infection, and with some antibiotics, you can actually treat it. The complex sort of nature of the neurodegenerative degenerative process of the disease itself, and sort of sometimes the difficulty of communication of the symptoms makes dementia basic care and difficult and challenging. And often people with dementia are more prone to go to hospital. And if they go to hospital, are more prone to have probably more adverse outcomes, like having falls. Anecdotally, you will hear when people somebody with dementia goes to hospital, when they come back, which I've tried to show it in my just made up graph, usually their baseline goes lower. They decline much faster. A lot of our work focuses on using edge technologies. In principle, there are sensors you will see around, and I'll talk a little about them. And to create something which can continuously monitor people's sleep, physiology, movement around the house, and build a picture of their day-to-day activities, and then try to look for anomalies or try to look at when they have a specific conditions, how that pattern will look like. We started this with a generous funding from Department of Health and NHS around 6-7 years ago with my colleagues Ramin Infrushan and Helen Rostel. And in principle, we put sensors like passive infrared sensors. They are like your burglar alarms. When you just walk in front of it, it starts just sending messages sort of to a cloud environment, to a little complex, like we use a sensor when you sleep in a bed, goes under the bed and monitors respiratory, like heart rate, breathing rate, does a sleep staging. And this information continuously collected, and a lot of it is passive. The information in a secure network goes to cloud. And within the cloud, we run some analytical algorithms. There is a human involvement. Now, the algorithms do the analysis, and then they will flag something up. And we have a group, like we have set up something like in a hospital, like a call center. And we have a group of nurses. We look at this information, and then they take over and they apply their clinical protocol. But at the same time, they will record everything. As an engineer, for me, they take their raw data, they label it. And then as soon as you start collecting more data, you can reverse engineer and create more smarter algorithms. This study over the past 45 years has morphed to a new initiative supported by UK Dementia Research Institute called Minder Study, which is run by my colleague, Professor David Sharp. I've just picked up one example of a subset of our data. In this graph, the x-axis is time of the day, and the y-axis are different days. And these are two real patients' anonymous data. I've just taken a subset of data. Each color shows just movement in one area of the house. And if you look at, if imagine if I wake up every day exactly the same time of the day, do exactly the same thing, you expect to see this vertical sort of patterns. But nobody will do that. Nobody will have exactly the same patterns. But interestingly, when just you look at this graph, these two graphs visually, if you look at it, you will see one of the participants, the one below, you will see at nighttime, you see a lot of activities around the nighttime in that house, but has relatively very good patterns during the day. And if you look at the one above, you will see less sort of patterns, but most of the nighttime patterns are sort of referring to bathroom visits. And during the day, you see a lot of sort of inconsistencies in the data. Now, the participant above has somebody with urinary tract infection. One of the symptoms of urinary tract infections, people get up and go more often to bathroom. And this is something which is by looking at data, like you can just pick it up for to some extent. The participant below, you see that there are some nighttime disturbances. Somebody has like probably at nighttime start wandering around the house, and there's high risk of falls. Now, looking at this data is just, obviously I picked up some two obvious examples to show the differences, but it's not scalable. You can't just expect clinicians constantly look at this data. The whole work we have been doing over the past few years is training machines to look at these patterns and learn how these patterns associate to different conditions. Very quickly, this is an example with it, and it took us a while to build this algorithm. Urinary tract infections, as I said, is one of the top five reasons people are admitted to hospital, people living with dementia. If you pick it up early, is easily treatable or to a large extent. If you don't pick it up, could cause sepsis, could have a risk of life, or become very complicated condition if it's not picked up. Some of the symptoms, people more often go to bathroom, the body temperature increases, the heart rate, breathing rate at nighttime especially changes. UTIs come with delirium, people's movement patterns will change. And that those are, like I've shown two examples of the same person having a urinary tract infection and another day not having that. And we had a few hundreds of examples of this, people with UTI, not UTI, and we fed it to algorithm. The technology here is the easy part. Getting the right data and the right clinical insight is the most important thing. And we created an algorithm, which on the right-hand side, you see, starts detecting, and those shows like the accuracy of algorithms or across the sensitivity, specificity, how accurate the model is, but it starts generating an alert to say, what is the risk of somebody having a urinary tract infection? Now, once we pick that one up, of course, this is not a clinical diagnostic. You just screen it. You have a better way of screening it. And then our colleagues will take a urine sample, will send it to a lab. And at the same time, in parallel, a group of my colleagues, they're working on creating an in-home test. Then you have an in-home test, which is relatively cheap, but you can't do this all the time. And a digital monitoring will pick that one up and you take it. And you can see this is on the x-axis on the right-hand side, one day before they had infection, 2 days, 3 days. And if you're a clinician, you know people would just don't wake up to have a urinary tract infection. It will take some time. When I say 0 days, it's the day we had the diagnosis exactly and goes backwards. Obviously, the way you go backwards, your accuracy is gonna decrease. Last thing before I go, and then we can discuss this more in the during the panel, is when we did this algorithm, we went and do the post-analysis. The accuracy was, let's say, we were around 80%. We were interested, who are those 20% we failed? It turned out majority of those people were female. Women age over 65 has multifold or higher risk than men to have actually urinary tract infection. If you don't look at it, your algorithm starts biasing towards a subgroup in your study. And I can talk more about what you can do about the different social demographics and different things. So, and these are type of things when we use these technologies, if we are not very, very careful, which Leonie will talk more about this after me, we can create a very, very dangerous set of technologies, which they are interesting, but not at the same time, they might discriminate a subgroup in our participants. Well, let's stop here. Thank you very much.